You can be a grass cutter, that's exactly right.
Buy a couple lawnmowers.
You better check his quality, though.
Old business, Ms. Cornwell, come on down. Conditional use number 2130.
George could furnish us some beef, couldn't he? Just bringing in some cattle.
That's right.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
County Council held a public hearing on July 27th for the conditional use 2130, the Evergreen Property Companies LLC, otherwise known as Pallet's Corner. You left a record open for a response from the county engineer and then for 15 days for written comments. We did report back with the county engineer's information, and the 15 days has passed. And now, if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer those questions. And again, this is just for a conditional use. The property is zoned MR.
We did that part already.
That was done a long time ago.
Any questions of council?
No, I got some
questions. Mr. Cole?
Conditions and stuff I'd like to, what I get, what is appropriate. Mr. Okay. Moore?
Anybody have any questions of Ms. Cornwell while she's before us?
She'd be happy to answer them.
No, if not,
Mr. Moore, do you have some conditions for Mr. Cole over here?
Well, I would read the short title and this. And as Ms. Cornwell said, typically we come back, we do a report on the second. She's doing that, but since it's on the agenda, it would also be appropriate you could vote on it today, too. So I will read.
Read short title.
Yes. An ordinance grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwellings, 20 townhomes, to be located on certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 2.3817 acres more or less for the reasons given by planning zoning numbered 1 through 10 with conditions 11A through N.
Okay, Mr. Cole, you have some proposed.
Mr. President, what I will propose to do is utilize the format that planning and zoning had and go down the reasons and I'll modify them.
Okay.
There's a couple modifications. So I guess I should read through each one of these, Everett. So we
yes.
Okay. So number one, the application seeks the approval of 20 townhome structures on 2.387 acres for a proposed density of approximately 8.4 acres units per acre. Number two, the property is at the intersection of Fred Hudson, Cedar Neck Road, which is one of the busiest intersections in the area. And it also goes on to describe that the property is bounded by single-family homes and a clubhouse and a pool area and adjacent single-family residential development. Number three, multiple parties appeared in opposition, residents, including residents adjacent to the property. They cited, like this, they had MR zoning also, but they were their subdivisions were developed at a much lower density on larger single family home lots. So the opposition included concerns about density, increased traffic, as well as the heavily traveled intersection, and then they had other factors. Number four, I am concerned about the proposed density on this small of a property. It appears that this is the maximum density would fit on the property, taking into account the dimensions and minimal parking requirements. Number five, the applicant cited the densities of nearby developments for comparison. And if you, what they noted were these properties that were C1 and Sunset Harbor was an older manufactured housing park, which had previously existed with that density. So they used C1 and a marina zoning district and an old mobile home park that had been converted to townhomes that had been established prior to zoning. MR permits only a base density of 4 units to the acre, which is what this site is zoned. Number six, the site is in the environmentally sensitive developing area. And according to our plan, it states that multifamily structures are appropriate. States that the density should be primarily between 2 and 4 units to the acre. I am also concerned that the maximum number of townhouses on this property of 20 would there would be little room for overflow parking and other things. So number eight, section 115-218 of the zoning code requires a 20-foot forested buffer.
Allows.
Allows.
Yes.
Okay, it says, okay, allows a 20-foot forested buffer. Given the location and the surroundings of this property, which are single-family homes, a townhome can be 40-some feet. I feel that the 20-foot forested buffer would not be enough, and I would change that to 25-foot vegetated buffer around the entire project. Number nine, the buffer requirements are based, and based upon my concerns about the overall density of the project and the proposed site plan, the number of units permitted as part of this project shall be reduced to 9. That will allow for the installation of the required buffer and will allow for additional parking within the site. The development will be served by central sewer provided by Sussex County. And I believe we ought to also put in there that it would should be having public water also, which is provided, I think, by Sussex Shores Water Company. But I don't know if we need to put that in, but I think it should be served by central sewer and public water. Okay? And then 11, these are the following conditions. So the maximum number of townhouses shall be 9, as provided by Section 115-218 of the Zoning Code. There shall be a forested landscape buffer installed of 25 feet installed around the entire perimeter of the project. In compliance with Section 99-5 of the Code of Sussex County, all entrances, intersections, roadways, multimodal improvements shall be completed by the developer in accordance with DLDOT. D, the project shall be served by Sussex County Sewer. Developer shall comply with all Sussex County engineering requirements, including any off-site upgrades necessary to provide service to this project. The project shall be served by Central Water to provide drinking water and fire protection. Interior street design shall meet or exceed the county's street design requirements. G, all construction and site work on the property, including deliveries of material to and from the property, shall occur between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. H, no other outdoor construction activities shall occur at the site except between the hours of 7:30 and 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday, and 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. There should be no construction activities on the site on Sundays. I is street naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the county mapping and addressing departments. J, applicant shall form a condominium association responsible for the perpetual maintenance, repair, replacements of the roads, buffers, landscaping, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sediment control facilities, and other common elements. K, stormwater management shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county and shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. L, the final site plan shall contain the approval of Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion, sediment, and sedimentation control facilities. M, as stated by the applicant, there shall be a swimming pool and a pool house installed on the premises. The swimming pool shall be at least, and I think I'll strike that part. Planning and zoning had recommended a certain size of swimming pool. I don't believe that's something we need to be involved in. So I'll just say that the M should read, as stated by the applicant, there shall be a swimming pool and pool house installed on the premises. The final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. And then I'll make it, so therefore that would be my motion to amend.
Yeah, I would suggest so we can go through and make sure we're okay on each one.
Okay, that'd be fine.
And we would start with number number eight,
mm-hmm.
that it is appropriate to require a 25-foot vegetated buffer around the entire perimeter of the property.
Yes, and if you, a 42-foot building is very high, and if you're only 20 feet, 20 feet's probably here to Todd. I feel that 25 feet would be more appropriate, given a little extra distance, and with the reduction of the number and the density, they should have ample room to do that. And I believe there's actually some trees already in and have a 25-foot buffer on one sideline of that property already.
So, Mr. Moore, you see no reason to deal with number one?
Well, number one indicates what they requested.
That was just what they requested.
That was similar to the discussion we had last week.
Right, just making sure we're following in order.
Yes. So I believe that we would do the number eight first, that at the end of the sentence, it is appropriate to require a 25-foot vegetated buffer around the entire perimeter of the project.
Which is only really two sides, because the other two sides are roadways.
Okay.
I'm just going to clarify, the minute it says around the entire perimeter, that includes all four sides of that property.
Okay. I would say the just the areas abutting the other development, because it could be a...
So the other two are roadways?
It's on a corner.
So we indicate not including the roadways.
Yeah, we could do that. That would be, because a buffer around this busy intersection could be a hazard.
So on number eight, after the comma on the third line, it is appropriate, Sam, to require a 25-foot vegetated buffer around the perimeter of the project, not including roadways. Road frontage.
Wait, Sam's jingling.
Shall I read that again?
Please read one more time.
It's hard to concentrate.
On number eight, after the comma on the third line, it is appropriate to require a 25-foot vegetated buffer around the perimeter of the project, not including road frontage.
Okay. That's your motion, Mr.
That Cohen? Would be my motion, yes, Mr.
We have a second?
A second.
Second, Mr. Burton. Any questions on the motion?
Yeah, just one, Mr. Arlett. Mr. Vincent, and that would be, the code requires the 20, correct? Just to reaffirm.
As part of a conditional use, it is not required for a subdivision. A 20-foot buffer around the entire perimeter, including the roadways, is a requirement. Typically, you'll see that condition on conditional uses of residential, but it is not a requirement. That is why it is a condition of approval.
Got it. So it's it is not required, but it was stated in here by the Planning and Zoning Commission that the 20-foot is a condition. Now it's being adjusted to 25 feet.
Correct. On two sides. I don't know what we're going
to
do about
the
road. Sides
abutting the single-family home development to the rear and side.
Okay.
But for clarification, do you still want a 20-foot along the road frontage?
There should be, yeah. I mean, there should be a setback of 20 feet along that road frontage, yes.
Okay.
I mean, to get anything set back from that intersection would be...
So then we would state, and a 20-foot...
Which is what P&Z
recommended. ...setback on the road frontage.
I'll go with that recommendation. That's good. I didn't think the landscaping should be required. Let the developer do what he wants there.
I'm just... going to clarify,
sure.
The setback along that road is going to be more than 20 feet based on the zoning. It's actually going to be 40 feet for building setback. So the question is do we want to have landscaping along the road frontage?
Again, I think the developer, if he wants to sell his project, he's going to have to make it attractive as he can. I would just, instead of us intruding into his business, I just let the developer do his own landscaping plan in the front. As long as we get the setbacks.
So what I had originally read, the perimeter of the project not including road frontage.
That's correct.
Yes.
Sam was asking.
Not include road frontage.
That's true. Correct. That's true.
So we're only dealing with 25 feet on the two sides that are abutted to other properties.
Yes.
Any questions again? We'll take the vote, Mr. Arlett.
Was there a second to that, Mr. President?
Mr. Burton seconded.
I'm sorry.
Just a question, if I may. I mean, I know...
Back up to questions.
I'm sorry, Mike. Just to reaffirm, because, I mean, obviously we are changing what the public hearing was, which I know we of course, have the authority to do so. I mean, but we are now changing, quote-unquote, the ask or the requirement here. And we are not required to have any further input from the public... Correct, Mike, on this, as we're changing this?
Correct.
That's correct.
Okay, just want to reaffirm.
Yeah.
Okay. I will vote.
Well, now we'll take the vote, Mr.
Okay, Arlett. I will You know, the buffers are not required. There was an agreement to do the 20. This is asking for more than that. And in consideration of the neighbors from the public hearing, I will be agreeable to that.
Mr. Burton.
I will vote in favor of the additional buffers on the two sides. I think it's good for this site to have them.
Mr. Wilson.
I vote in favor of the adjustment.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Probably yes, motion carried. Next, okay. Mr. Moore.
The next change would be in number 9, and we simply delete the number 16 and put in its place 9.
Okay. You want to read that for us, Burr?
Yes. With the buffer requirements and based upon my concerns about the overall density of the project and proposed site plan, the number of units permitted as part of this project shall be reduced to 9. That will allow for the installation of the required buffer, and it will allow for additional parking within the site.
Mr. Cole, that's your motion?
I'll make that motion, yes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that motion.
Second, Mr. Burton. Questions on this motion?
Yes.
Mr. Arlett.
How did we arrive at number 9? I mean, the original ask was 20. Planning and zoning had brought it down to 16, and now we're coming down to 9. So how did that number come to be about?
It's zoned MR, and MR provides for 4 units to the acre. Do the math, I think you come up with about 9.
How many acres is it?
2.23 something or other, something like that. It's here in front of us. I'll tell you in a minute, Sammy. It is 2.3871 acres. So do the math. I mean, I think you get 9, I believe. That's how we arrive at it. And to give you a basis for that, we just recently approved right down the street. We just had an adjustment on one of the projects, and that's less than 4 units to the acre, again, zoned MR. Across the street, the project that was with the Gulfstream project, it was 4 acres plus a little extra. They got 4 units to the acre. So we have consistently have stayed at, on Cedar Neck Road in this area on MR districts at 4 units to the acre. So that's the justification. I saw no justification to give them additional because there hadn't been any precedent set before that. And what they cited as the higher densities were permitted uses from old zoning categories from years ago, which permitted those kind of densities, which we don't permit today. You see, a commercial district only permits 4 units to the acre, where in the past it permitted much more.
Well, technically, the C1 still permits 12 units.
Well, C1,
to
yeah, but I'm just saying we've closed that district. But,
correct.
Right. But anything now rezoned commercially doesn't get the higher residential densities that we used to provide for in the C1. Which you're still permitted, right, in a C1 district?
Actually, C4 in certain instances will allow up to 12 units to an acre, but it maximizes the amount of the percentage that can be used of the land for residential.
But anyway, this isn't commercial, so we're talking MR, and this is an MR district, so that we just kind of got off track there, but that's the reason.
And are you, I mean, is that what his, are you agreeable?
That is up to county council as to whether they believe the 9 units is appropriate for the area.
Well, tell them this. Tell them that MR is 4 units to the acre.
MR allows 4 units to an acre, but as a conditional use can ask for 12.
We know that. We understand that. But Gina, can you multiply out with your... With
while she's multiplying,
I'm thinking she has that ability to do so.
Right, it comes about 9 units to the acre.
In the area we're talking about. Mr. Cole has stated, I'm not questioning what he's saying, but that the other thing we've just done have been 4 units to the acre on other projects down that road in that general area. And the ones that are there today that are more than that were C1, which was allowed up to 12.
And marina.
And a marina district.
Or the old dockside.
That is actually zoned, it's not zoned M, it's zoned something else. And that with the old manufactured home park, that actually has a density of 9, and yeah. That was a reduction from what was originally the manufactured home park.
Really?
But that still has a density of around 9 units to an acre.
But that's manufactured homes.
No, it's not. It's now single family.
It
went
is
from
now.
A manufactured home park that has had a density higher than the 9. When they converted it, county council approved a density of around 9, and that is across the street.
The old mobile home park actually recorded individual lots for each of these manufactured homes, actually sold a few off, so there was a little complicated when they tried, when they kicked all the old people off the site to convert it to what we have today. And there's still some privately owned parcels still in there on one section of the road. But those were older stuff that we were stuck with. But anything we've done, or the council's done recently, has been at the MR, GR calculations, which is 4 units to the acre, or less.
Is that a correct statement?
There are developments throughout that area. I don't know the age of some. Some of them are more than 4 units to the acre. Some of them are 4 or less. There's a mixture of density in the area.
Right. Her previous P&Z director would know that, but we understand that she wouldn't.
George.
Questions?
I understand that.
Should we just make the rules as we go?
No. This is.
I hope not.
No, my suggestion is, we just changed it to MR. MR permits 4 units to the acre.
No, this wasn't just changed to MR.
It's an MR district, which, right?
Yes.
Which is what the whole parcel, I guess the steel parcel, came in as an MR district, and that was included maybe back when that got his own. But anyway, MR is 4 units to the acre. Unless somebody can tell me a reason why we should give a greater number than 4 units to the acre, I'd like to hear it. If you notice, planning and zoning did cite a NRB reduction, the concern about the size of the parcel, which is only 2.3 acres, and the busiest intersection in the area, and this sits right on that corner. We just approved, like I said, down the street with the, we just had a modification. What was that called?
I believe it was Oceanside Vista or something
like
similar,
that, right.
But that was a reapproval of an expired
reapproval, but
plan.
But that was one of the more recent ones, and that was a less than 4 units to the acre. And then across the street was a recent one about a year or so ago. That was the Ocean Ventures or whatever it was, Gulfstream, I think. Anyway, that little project there was 4.2 acres or something, and it got 4 units to the acre. So those are the most recent rezonings. The others are just stuff that's done years ago. And since we did way in the past, we're moving forward in an area that is extremely impacted by traffic.
Does this mean buyer beware of what's MRI or commercial land?
No, this is just MR zoned residential land, Sam.
That's what I'm saying. You got, if you're a buyer, you better be aware of what kind of land you're
with the busy intersection. They'll know that, I'll guarantee you. There's no way you can not observe.
That's what I'm saying. Buyer better be aware.
Buyer be, you're, that's
be
it,
aware
on everything.
Of what's buying.
Yes. Anyway, my motion would be for.
Yep, you did ask if there was any question. You are absolutely right. This is MR. It's been MR for a while. Other areas that have higher density were based on old zonings or different zonings. However, if there would be any type of challenge to this, anyone challenging would cite the total density in surrounding areas.
I'm fine.
I'll bring that. Okay, so
I would like us to, my opinion, I would like us to have some research from you and come back and tell us that generally when everything was changed and what it gets. If it gets 4 units, it's MR, we didn't increase anything. This council I'm talking about, not 15 years ago, but this council. I'd be interested to hear exactly what we have or have not done in MR zoning districts.
In countywide or
no, in this general area of Cedar Neck Road.
Okay.
No, not countywide, but in that general area that down there, to make sure we are on the same wavelength so we don't do something that anybody can challenge us, but whatever.
Make a motion to defer it.
Well, let me just ask Janelle something. This shouldn't take a whole lot of time. You're talking about just our council, right? Is it something you think you could research in the next
Half hour?
No.
Okay.
I will need to pull files and figure out the files.
I got it all right up here.
And I'm not saying Mr. Cole's incorrect. I would just feel more comfortable if we have, if you go back and research and make sure what we've done.
Want me to help?
Let's say the last 5 years.
Basically stating what Mr. Cole has stated is accurate.
I'll guarantee it. It's accurate.
There you go. And I do not question that it's accurate. I feel more comfortable if you would research that and tell us, yes, this is whatever it is.
Because if you all recall, we went through a number of years where there was no activity, and the one right down the street actually lost its zoning or something, and we had to resurrect some of that stuff. And so we've only seen the activity, Mike, in the last couple years, I would say. So it's going to be an easy chore.
In fact, I really think that it's now got MRs there. And I think at one time we dealt with that. They were going to put a gas station or something there.
They want to change the business.
The neighborhood wasn't crazy about the gas station. So
on this parcel?
Nobody buys gas, I guess.
There was a request to change the commercial.
It was a house sitting there, two houses, I guess. But if you would research that, if anybody else doesn't feel like that, we'll just keep on moving. But I just feel more comfortable to hear what they come back and say. And we would, Mr. Lawson, if you put it back, motion to defer.
Well, you actually have a motion with a second on.
We're going to withdraw that.
Sorry.
That's not a motion. If we can withdraw the second.
I will withdraw.
And withdraw the motion.
That'd be fine.
Mr. Wilson makes a motion to defer.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. To defer until our next meeting in September, which is September 11th.
You got it.
Put it back on the agenda then. We have the answers to move forward.
And what I would suggest at that time, since there's already been a motion to amend, we would have a motion to confirm that amendment at that point.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
More questions? We'll take a vote on that.
Let me ask you this, Mike. I got a question.
No, go ahead.
Should we go through and maybe make the changes and then defer on all a package, or do we stop midway and defer?
I would suggest that since the question that has arisen is a result of one of your proposed amendments, that we hold off. We'll draft the motion all the amendments that you suggested today, so that way council will have that in front of them when you come back.
Good. All right. Sounds good.
Any more questions? Right. We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Thank you, ma'am. And like I say, we'll put it back on the agenda, Todd, if you will, on September 11th, and we'll deal with it for sure.
We'll get taken care of.
Thank you. Mr. Jennings?
We got to give her a go.
Thank you, Mr. President. The first grant request is City of Rehoboth Beach. They're requesting $3,000 to update their playground equipment. Last grant received was $2,000 from Mr. Cole for bicycle trail signage.
I'm trying to get back to my agenda. How's this thing work? This is the City of Rehoboth?
Correct.
Playground equipment.
The playground equipment. Yeah, I think over the years I've helped Bethany and Ocean View and Rehoboth with their playgrounds, because so many people who come in from outside of these city limits utilize all those facilities, and the city has to, you know, upkeep all that stuff, and they've got some really nice facilities. So I would like to help with $3,000 on.
Don't we take no money from that, George?
Pardon me?
Don't we get any money from all those people who comes in?
No, not for these playgrounds are open to the public for free. Anybody can use them.
So we're not making a dime on it, are we?
It's like, Sam, if you walked on the boardwalk, they wouldn't charge you. But they don't.
That's a good thing. We have a motion, Mr. Cole. We have a second.
Second,
Mr. Burton, to grant the City of Rehoboth Beach for playground equipment $3,000 from Mr. Cole's Councilmatic account. Questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay. Next one is Chamber of Commerce for Greater Milford. They're requesting $2,000 for their annual Riverwalk Freedom Festival. Last grant received was $1,000, which was $500 from Mr. Burton and $500 from Mr. Wilson.
I make a motion we do the same.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Burton, to grant the Chamber of Commerce for Riverwalk Freedom Festival. $1,000 being $500 Mr. Wilson's Councilmatic account and $500 Mr. Burton's Councilmatic account. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Introduction of proposed zoning ordinances. Mr. Moore?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. The first one's in Mr. Arlett's district. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a GR general residential district for multifamily units, 135 townhouses, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, containing 47.7177 acres, more or less.
I introduce it.
Mr. Arlett introduces it.
The next one Well, I think that might be the only one. It appears that the rest were attached to the public hearings. Let me just double check, Mr. President, if I may.
There's just one.
Just the one?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Council member comments. Council member comments. Anybody?
Oh, yeah. I had one.
Mr. Cole.
Wait, I had one. I tore it up. It's at the Board of Adjustment. Let's go back to, let me go to my emails here. I got something, Everett, and I need you to explain this email. I got an email from...
Somebody.
Yeah, somebody. Wait, I'm going to tell you the outfit in a minute. It's called the, I guess it's the Delaware Coalition for Open Government. And they were talking about Board of Adjustment. They had numbered things. I don't know if all of you got one of these.
Yeah, we talked about it last week. We've already...
Right. But they were talking about the rules of procedure and about not so much the... public input. They said a lack of a public input. They didn't like that. But it was the appeal, about appealing it, and it stated here that the rules of procedure or something, there is an appeal, like within 10 days or something, somebody can, but only the applicant can appeal a decision. Nobody else can. Let me
well, typically, for someone to appeal something, they have to be an aggrieved party.
Well, it's typically, but I mean, does it say that? By law, do you have to be aggrieved? Or does it just say that an appeal has to occur such and such?
Someone filing an appeal, as I said, normally would be an aggrieved party that would bring an action. To have a decision overturned. And typically it would be someone who felt that they were aggrieved by the decision. So are you indicating that could?
Well, here's what it said. They had there is no administrative mechanism for opponents of cases brought before the board to challenge board decisions. And it says, according to P&Z director and staff, which serve at the board's de facto, anyway, an applicant can request a rehearing by the board if he or she is unhappy with the outcome. Doesn't say anything about agree, but it says
right.
If they're unhappy. But there is no such option available to the opponents or even disinterested third parties who believe an administrative error has been made. So there is a rule that permits only one side to ask for a rehearing, not the other side.
Again, I will go back and look at all this for you. However, most of the appellate processes are set up by Delaware Code concerning appeals, Board of Adjustment, just the way they are for planning and zoning and other boards. So there is a state law that outlines that.
Okay, but the way I see this, it says 10 days. So if I guess an applicant gets an approval and something he likes, he's not going to appeal it, right? But right. So he would only appeal if it's something he didn't like. Not that he was aggrieved, he didn't get the variance or whatever he wanted, right?
That's what you mean by the aggrieved party.
Okay. Let's say he gets what he wants and the opponents are aggrieved. They don't... I would think that this would be...
That happens, you see that happening.
If this is state law, what I'm asking is it possible, I think... To help us with this process, you know, we always talk about how do you appeal something if you don't like it, right? Right now, the applicant can only appeal it; the other side can't. Is there any consensus that if we ask the state to change, you know, if it's state law, change the state law to give both sides a 10-day opportunity to appeal?
I think you'll find
then people would have to go to court. I'm just trying to avoid an opponent having to go get an expensive lawyer or a cheap lawyer. And go to a go through this whole process. It's very costly, and most people are discouraged by it because of the monetary.
Well, you'll find that people do appeal these decisions all the time. We've seen it, where people did not like a decision with Board of Adjustment and filed an appeal in the appropriate court.
Well, I know that. I don't disagree with that. But some people are, I'm sure, discouraged because again, you have to get an attorney and go to Superior Court. If both sides could demand a rehearing. We might eliminate some of that and be, I don't know, more transparent, more fair. I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody else concerned. I think that might be an easy fix to some of our Board of Adjustment decisions and people who are questioning maybe the decision.
It might not be an easy fix it. We got to go to Dover to fix it.
Well, I'm just saying, if tell me what we have to do, but I'm just, when I read this, I thought that seemed a little lopsided.
Mr. President, if you would like at the next meeting, we can give you a report on that.
Well, I was going to say, I would suggest we all got a copy of it. We talked about it last week. My suggestion is, obviously, we all got this letter. Now the letter's been in the News Journal every place else. We should have a response to those people sent the letter and give them an answer to their questions within a reasonable time. So if you would work on that, and I would hope you can get it done between now and September 11th, and we can talk about it then and hopefully respond to these people with an answer. And that way Mr. Cole will have his answers. Can we, can't we, should we, shouldn't we, and whatever. Because it was certainly, if there was something to be changed in Dover, my suggestion would be it's certainly much better to undertake that with all three counties asking for that change versus one county.
Yeah, find out if it does affect, because sometimes, Mike, you know how it is. Well, it's only Sussex and the rest of them go by a different set of rules.
But that's potentially correct.
Yeah, I know it.
Yeah. Any more council member comments?
We're different down here.
Council member comments.
No, that's all. Thank you.
I believe when a decision's made, that's in the...
There you go.
Unless you want to appeal it, spend the money yourself.
How it works.
You personally have to. Appeal it yourself.
Yep.
If you don't want to do that, then just shut up.
There you are. Okay. Any more comments? Entertain motion to recess until 1:30 public hearings. Motion,
second.
Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions? We will take the vote. Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Burton?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote yes. We're now in recess to 1:30 public hearings.